background for my subject this morning is taken out of Proverbs, and it will be chapter 9. However, before I go there, I'd like to inform you. I know that some people have the feeling that we have lost our mind, and sometimes I think maybe it's true, that we will be traveling over the 4th of July. But sometimes you don't make those choices when you travel, if you're in this work that we've been in. And of course, Lot Texas has struggled. They're doing an anniversary and a dedication, and they ask for two overseers to be there, and I happen to be one of them. And so in their struggles of trying to find a date, sometimes that happens. As you know, sometimes it's hard here. The smaller we get, the harder it is to find a date. I can't make sense out of that, but it's the way it works. And they are a small group, but quite busy. So it ended up they wanted to do this the 6th and the 7th of July. Oh, okay, yeah, that'll work, that'll suit. Never looked at the fact that I'd be driving on the 4th, the 3rd. Now, the 4th is not so bad, but the 3rd might be. And then we'll be sitting perhaps on over the time when you guys will be coming home. And we'll just wait till you're all home, then we'll do our thing. Now, there's another thing that troubles us. The last two times that we've been to Texas, there were deaths in the that affected us quite a bit, and got a phone call last night that Edna's brother is in the hospital. He's 87 years old. He's had a long, good life. All right, God, what is this about? We don't know. So here we have now till Wednesday, we have to decide, and I'm just thinking, halfway to Texas, and we get a phone call, he died. Well, we don't know yet. Where are we at? I don't know. But the subject matter in today's lesson could maybe be some light to that. I don't know. And so on. I want to tell you that I would like to affirm the fact that there is a miracle about Rosie. That is an absolute miracle. Now, I know what that does. Why couldn't Sylvia experience that miracle? Why couldn't others experience that miracle? There's no doubt in my mind what was going on in Rose's situation. I happened to have been the one that was called first when things happened, and Jonas has sort of started to lean on me, and I feel the weight of that. He's probably listening to me saying that, and it's okay, Jonas. It's all right for you to do that. But that is a very dangerous thing she encountered. And I think Sylvia had that. Is that correct? And we must wonder why she's so much younger. Sylvia was half the age of about as Rosie. And she's resting. Went through that with our daughter, Glenda. Edna would often say, well, we hear these miracles, and we hear people that are being healed, and they're, why can't Glenda be healed? I don't know if you've gone through this or not, but some of you have, and it does. I'm sure Irma thinks of her situation, her mom and dad and her sister, boom. I'll never forget when that call came. My son said, Dad, the whole family wiped out. And you wonder, why is this? God, are you? We shall trust him, right? We shall trust him. We shall trust him for his decisions. We do not choose life or death. We just allow it to be. And so pray, be careful about your visits. That's still a dangerous There is a danger there. It could reoccur. We hope not. We pray that it will be clean and so on. So, we don't know. We were going to take in more visits in the West, but due to circumstances as they arrived, we made a decision to drive to Texas, do our thing, and drive home. It's life in this world. Now, a couple of comments I feel urgent to say to you. Aaron's are coming back, and we're all excited, and we're all up about this, and it's great. It really is. I'm with you. There's one thing Aaron's haven't figured out yet. They're excited about coming home. I have done this. I've been there where they are. I know what they're going to experience. I already know it. When they get back here, it's not going to be what they thought. But it will be okay. You see, 2 years, we've made some changes here. We don't think about it, and we don't even know what they are, but they will. They will feel those changes. And they will feel and see and those kind of things. It'll be okay. They'll adjust in, but it's the way it works. Enough said. Wisdom is my subject this morning. Chapter 9 of Proverbs is my background. And I will say to you this morning that I selected this and began to research and study, I have preached I don't know how many weddings with that verse. And it's an easy one. It's very fitting. And I loved it. But this is not a wedding. Nobody's getting married that I know of, unless Kylie is and she didn't tell us and it's a secret. I don't know. She doesn't even know. And anybody else here? Well, there's no wedding that we know of, so discount that. But I've used it in many ways, but I found myself going back and saying to myself, this was not written for wedding sermons, but we used it for that. It was okay. And so I began to do research, and the more I researched it, the more I began to realize it's a lot bigger than I am. This is a whole lot more than I am. So if you find me cutting off in the middle of the sentence, be patient. Just go home and read it and study it, and you'll learn about it. Proverbs 9, 1 through 5. Actually, it's 1 through 12. Begin with the beginning of this. It says this, wisdom hath builded her house, which is hewn out 7 pillars. Probably by the time I get through with my introduction, it'll be time to close. So I'm telling you, it's bigger than I am. It's really big, and I didn't realize that the more I researched. And it's like, I kind of got excited about my research. What I found was really felt good. Now, if you study Proverbs, which I do a lot, you will read 1 through, I think it's about through now where we're at, you will read a lot of literature about wisdom. A lot of wisdom. A lot of wisdom. But what is troubling, it's always feminine. Are you guys there? Are you here? Yeah. It's always feminine. I've not had the bravery or the audacity yet to bring that to this floor, but I am this morning. So if I am acting foolish and stupid, there is no cure for such things. But the more I researched, the more I discovered why I was thinking the way I was thinking. And it has always troubled me that this has to be known as a her. She. Can it not be him or he? Nope, can't be done. Question is there some type of relevance between she? Oh, men, you can just sit tight for a minute and you're not going to like it. But is there some type of relevance between she and wisdom? Ladies, I will put a caution out for you. It could be a bit dangerous for us to talk about this because it may make you feel like you have really got the answers. Unfortunately, it's disgusting, but actually you do. In the wisdom of God, you are known to be, what's that word? It's left me. Come on, somebody help me out. No. There's a big word that you ladies are known to be. Intuitive. Thank you. It's disgusting. We men think that we are the one. And actually we are, but just nobody has figured it out yet because we are the ones that can fix things. We are the ones that can build something. We are the ones that can put things together. But sometimes it takes that she to tell us how to do it. You think I'm really being off the wall, I know. I'm going to prove a point. Okay. So I went into the Hebrew language and I did some research and this is what I found. And again, I found it totally disgusting. But you see, when you go into the original language and you find the answers, what are you going to do? Wisdom. In the Hebrew, Proverbs 9, verse 1, the word comes out as kokomo. Not kokomo, kokomoth. The C, it's actually spelled with the C. And I'm going to give you a Hebrew lesson, and I don't expect you to remember this. There is something about the lesson that I want you to remember. Not the words, not that it's Hebrew. Don't worry about that, okay? I'm not trying to be a smart aleck here, but it is a fact that is a learning process. So the word in Proverbs 9:1 has the idea of, and it's spelled, if you spell it as it sounds, you leave the C out, you put a K there, it's kokmoth, kokmoth. Are you ready for the meaning of that word? You'll like this, ladies. You'll love it. Every wise woman. That's the actual meaning of that word, wisdom. I think there is got to be something about the intuitive or intuition of you females in this reading. Now I'm going to drop back to Proverbs chapter 8 and I'm going to look at verse 1 and it says, doth not wisdom cry? Does that sound like a female? Begging? You know, when you have a, when there's someone in your family as a female and a grandchild or child, there's a problem and I'll stop right there. Right. Does not wisdom cry? Again, I looked it up, and the Hebrew meaning is different than the word meaning that I just gave you. Now, you can take, that's one of the dangers of the King James, in which I have used it for many years, all my life, and I still can't get away from it. I've tried, and it just doesn't work. But you have the two words, wisdom, in both places, but they have different meanings. I wish sometimes I would be a Hebrew scholar, but I'm not. But that word misspelled with a C again is chakma, is Hebrew word. Again, you leave the C silent and you go kokma, almost like Kokomo or Coco, and it's not that. You ready? Skillful and wise. It's about time to stop this mess, I think. You ladies are getting puffed up, I see. You're starting to look taller than you did a minute ago. The situation that I would refer to is this, that I actually believe what I just told you. And that's disgusting, I know. And I have to affirm this because it's biblical. I do believe there is something about you females that is high in order in the wiseness, in the wisdom. And most of you say, well, I can't teach, I can't do this, I can't do that. That's a bunch of whatever. You can. Actually, God has given you that order, but you need to be humble about it. Don't go around saying, oh, Sam said we are it. Well, you are. But you see, you go back to the creation, and I found that was God's last and highest and the best. I'm going to read these five verses here and then go back to it. Wisdom hath builded her house. After giving you all that lesson in Hebrews, now let's read and see what it says. Wisdom hath builded her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. Now, hewn has the idea of carving. Can you put that together? She carves out her house. Well, actually, when you look at Scripture, you find that the female or the mother, the wife, Proverbs, 30, 31, I think it's one of 30, carves out who she is. But you know what? We're going to have to get off the subject because it's not about you. You thought it was. It's not about you, this background. So she builds her house and she carves out seven pillars. She has killed her beasts. She has mingled her wine. She has furnished her table. She sent forth her maidens. She cried upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn it hither. In other words, you're going along. That's what the object lesson here is, that here's this person going along, and there's an invitation. We're having a banquet. You're simple. You're kind of stupid, so come on in here. I'd qualify for that. That'd be good. As for him that wants understanding, she said to him, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Now the pillars, I want to spend some time there. Now like I've told you, I've preached, I have sermons on weddings, for weddings, and there's seven pillars, and they have to do with relationships. And I had a hard time getting away from that idea because I've done it so many times. And then it's like, I know that this was not meant for me to use for weddings, but I did it anyhow. So there's got to be somewhere that I can find where this idea of these pillars have something to do with my relationship with God. Okay. Now, The pillar idea is architecturally a reference. And this, there are those who have described this pillar idea like this. And I wished I was smart enough to do PowerPoint, and I'd do a graph, and I'd show you on the board, and I'd be really cool and all that, but I'm not. I'm old and kind of dumb and can't do PowerPoint. Don't know how to do it, and it's too late to learn, so forget it. So I'll just tell you about it. The seven pillars are described like this. You have four pillars. Then there are three, one here, and one here. And this side's open. Meaning that this is now the entrance. That's why it's open. So you can get in. It's a place that has some meaning to it. It has an architectural meaning. Funny, the Christian life refers to architectural meanings, food. Jesus always said, always found himself, any food around here, getting to eat. How about sit down, let's eat. And you know, there is a meal forthcoming, according to my Bible, that talks about this big splash of a thing that God is putting together and waiting for us. And when we all get together, and we'll all be at the banquet table. Wow, I tell you, it's something to think about. And so these seven pillars have denotes perfection. Seven is a covenant number. It expresses harmony and unity, generally the signature of holiness and blessing, completeness and rest. Inside these pillars, obviously I don't talk about no walls, I just talk about pillars. If you go to Isaiah chapter 11, it reads something and it comes up with, and there's a reference to that seven pillars in Isaiah 11, 1, and it goes like this. Number one is rest. Number two is wisdom. Number three is understanding. Number four is counsel. Number five is might. Number six is knowledge. Number seven is fear. Drop back to chapter 8 on the same one, and you look at verse 12 and 13, it will read like this. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Wisdom. It is absolute. I don't know how to describe it to you. But it has connection with the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, and on. In this chapter, in this book that I just read to you, Proverbs 9, 1 through 5, it begins by saying, she has prepared a banquet. Don't you like that? The banquet. If you're young, you don't think so much about it, but I can tell you, I think a lot about it anymore. I do, the banquet. You see, I thought about our family tree. Got a call last night. I had a reason for telling you this. But out of that context, there have been, I think I figured up six or seven brother-in-laws that have passed on between Ed and I. And another one, about to. In fact, there's two that are, use expression that we have banana peeling on one side and the other foot in the grave. You know, that's pretty close, but we don't know that. May be longer. We don't know. I think about that and here I am, still trucking along. One of these days it won't be. I know that. I'm prepared for that for me. I don't know if you are, but I am. But I think of that day, and we sing that song, what a day that will be when my, who is that I will see? Jesus. Well, there are so many things that will be a part of that. So, if I take then and I move myself into the New Testament and I take what Jesus taught, and I'm going to do this real quick. It's time to quit. Matthew 22, good one to read. Jesus invited the people. There was a wedding. Remember? It was a wedding. And he gives us a parable about this, and he talks about this king that had this. I think it was a wedding. Anyhow, it didn't come. They didn't come, and it says, they didn't deserve to come, it says. They weren't worthy. I'm just jumping through this guy. Hurry up. You read it. It connects with where we're at. Revelation 1 talks about the seven churches. And I've been doing some thinking about this, the 24 elders in the book of Revelation. There is something that transpires from beginning of the creation all through Old Testament into New Testament that brings together the 24 elders that are bowing before God and praising Him. Now, I'm not ready for that, but there's a connection somewhere. And so I have that. And I go to Revelation 19, and it talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, my question is, are you prepared for that invitation? Oh, my goodness, people, that I can't describe it to you. I don't know. I just know that I keep thinking, what's it like? What's Sylvia doing? What's Mom and Irma's parents, Adley's dad, what are they doing? What are my parents doing? What are your family? Where are they? What are they doing? Well, according to Scripture, there's something very special that's out there that we don't know about. And we're giving a little glimpse of it right here. Just a little bit. Can you, there's no way I can describe it to you, and I don't even want to try. So we go to verse 12, 6 through 12, and it says, you should come, you should eat. Now, reference that to the idea of the Holy Spirit is just begging us to come. Just begging us to come and eat of the bread and the wisdom that He has for us. I don't know how to describe it, and I know it's there, and there are things that are around us we don't understand, but I will say that according to the Matthew's writings and what Jesus said, that wedding was ready, and there were those who weren't deserving. I trust that that's not the case here. We may go to church, and we may do all well. We may be very busy. The internet at this point, Facebook, etc., is full of a lot of trash. People are responding to this, the horrors of people doing bad things in the world and under the name of God. Missionaries, you know what I'm talking about. Unfortunately, it's time for repentance, time for change. And we trust there will be. But it is difficult. There are things coming out of the closets like I've not seen before. Stories developing and coming alive. But where are we? What is my relationship with the Father, that God, through Jesus Christ, has provided for me. We're going to sing the song, It Is Jesus Christ, in just a moment. Why don't you stand and get ready? God, it is in our hearts this morning to say thank you. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for the wisdom that you give and the way you give it. And we want to accept it just the way you designed it. Thank you for helping us in life, for being with us today. Please be with all of our families, our friends. If you would bless them, we would be grateful. You have been so gracious in your mercy in giving us the Holy Spirit so that we have leadership, so that there is wisdom in our lives. And you have given us people who can help us. We would pray this morning that you would continue to watch and care for us in the work you've given us to do, that we can be faithful in all that needs to be done. Thank you for all of our families and friends. Would you care for them as well? Take care of their needs. We give thanks for it. Dismiss us with your blessing. May this week be a week that has been designed for us. May we walk in it in your way. In Jesus' name, amen.